Have you ever felt overwhelmed by the daunting prospect of mastering a new skill? Perhaps you've been paralyzed by the infamous 10,000-hour rule that suggests true expertise requires a decade of dedicated practice. What if there was a more accessible path to learning, one that provides immediate satisfaction while still connecting to deeper knowledge? This revolutionary approach is what Robert Twigger calls micromastery, and it's transforming how people learn worldwide. Since its publication, micromastery has become a quiet phenomenon among productivity experts and learning enthusiasts, with figures like Tim Ferriss praising its practical wisdom. The book has sparked a movement of micro-learners who share their quick skill acquisitions across social media platforms, proving that meaningful learning doesn't require years of dedication, just the right approach. Micromastery is a focused approach to learning small, self-contained skills that provide immediate satisfaction while connecting to larger fields of knowledge. Rather than being overwhelmed by the vastness of a subject requiring 10,000 hours of practice, micromastery offers an accessible entry point that can lead to deeper learning. Every micromastery contains six essential elements that make it work: the entry trick, the rub-pat barrier, background support, the payoff, repeatability, and experimental possibilities. Understanding this structure helps you not only learn micromasteries, but identify potential ones in any new subject. The entry trick is particularly crucial. It overcomes initial barriers to getting started. It might be a methodological change, like holding a pen higher when drawing, separating egg yolks for omelets, or practicing surfboard jumps on your living room floor. This trick sucks you in and then suckers you in. Knowing it makes practice more tolerable and immediately elevates your performance. The rub-pat barrier, named after the childhood challenge of rubbing your stomach while patting your head, is where two necessary skills work against each other. This is the highest hurdle in learning something new. Skills don't simply stack. They can either help or hinder mastery of other skills. In drawing Zen circles, you must balance slow, careful line making with the speed and flair needed for good curves. Just knowing this barrier exists makes conquering the micromastery easier. What makes this approach so powerful is how it aligns with our brain's natural learning processes. We learn best when engaging multiple senses and focusing on contained, achievable goals that provide immediate feedback. Micromastery creates the perfect conditions for our brains to form new neural pathways without the overwhelm that causes many learning attempts to fail. The most successful micromasteries begin with what genuinely interests you. Finding the fun in an activity is the best way to locate a micromastery that will work for you. It's your personal entry point. When Twigger returned to analog photography, he discovered more enjoyment using clunky old twin-lens cameras with 120 film than standard 35mm. This led to a micromastery of shooting one film daily, creating contact prints, and annotating them, a practice that emerged naturally from following what he found most engaging. Similarly, when struggling with novel writing, he discovered flash fiction was more enjoyable, writing complete stories in single sittings. This micromastery approach eventually built the skills needed for longer work. The key is honoring your instinctive preferences rather than following conventional wisdom about how to begin. Think of your fun entry point as the wagging tail that leads to the dog, the broader area you ultimately want to master. With lawn care, rolling the lawn flat might be the tail that leads to understanding proper mowing techniques, reseeding, and equipment selection. Even with subjects that seem dry, like international law, you can find engaging entry points. Focusing on fascinating legal case stories provides a natural way in, especially when you can share these stories with others, a powerful memory technique. Have you noticed how children naturally find the fun in everything they do? This instinct doesn't have to disappear with adulthood. When we reconnect with that childlike ability to find joy in learning, we unlock our natural capacity for mastery. What small aspect of a larger skill has always fascinated you? That's likely your perfect micromastery starting point. Our brains contain specialized multisensory neurons that process multiple inputs simultaneously, creating rich, interconnected networks of understanding. Research shows we learn up to 75% more effectively when multiple dimensions and senses are involved in the learning process. For a subject like international law, this might mean visiting an asylum center to witness refugee processing firsthand, talking with deep-sea fishermen about fishing boundaries, or participating in mock UN sessions rather than just reading textbooks and case studies. Creating physical objects related to your learning adds crucial tactile dimensions to abstract knowledge. For example, making detailed cards featuring disputed territories, constructing 3D models of constitutional structures, or creating tangible timelines of historical events. These hands-on activities engage spatial reasoning, motor skills, and visual processing simultaneously. By engaging multiple senses, you create stronger neural connections and deeper understanding that can persist for years rather than days or weeks. This multisensory integration explains fascinating phenomena like synesthesia, where individuals experience one sense through another, such as seeing music as colors or tasting shapes. Neuroscientists now recognize synesthesia not as an anomaly, but as existing on a spectrum central to human experience. The superstimulus effect, engaging multiple senses when studying something, creates deeper neural pathways, accelerating learning and facilitating unexpected connections between different knowledge areas. Studies show retention rates increase by up to 90% when learners engage three or more senses simultaneously. While word-based instruction dominates modern education, prioritizing standardization and control over experiential learning, this approach often contradicts our natural learning mechanisms. Today's art lessons frequently emphasize theory and critique rather than practicing drawing skills, while music education might focus on written notation before actual playing. This academic approach overlooks the brain's fundamental multisensory nature and its need for varied input channels. Consider everyday examples of multisensory enhancement. Bacon tastes approximately 20% better when you hear it sizzle. Speech recognition improves by 30% when accompanied by corresponding visual cues. And memory retention increases significantly when information is presented both visually and orally. These aren't coincidences, they're evidence of how our brains naturally integrate information across sensory channels. Micromastery aligns with this natural way of learning by seeking tasks that engage multiple senses simultaneously. When learning a new language, don't just read vocabulary lists, immerse yourself in multisensory experiences. Sing songs in that language, engaging auditory and vocal systems. Cook dishes from that culture, involving smell, taste, and motor skills. And practice writing characters with proper tools, engaging tactile and visual processes. Watch films with subtitles, participate in conversation groups, and use gesture-based learning methods. The more senses you engage, the faster and more deeply you'll learn. Research indicates that students using multisensory language learning approaches achieve proficiency up to 40% faster than those using traditional methods. This isn't just theory, it's how our brains are evolutionarily designed to acquire and retain new skills most effectively. We now know the brain remains plastic throughout life, contrary to outdated beliefs about fixed gray matter deteriorating after age 20. As Dr. Michael Mrzenich explains, brain plasticity is a physical process where gray matter can thicken or shrink and neural connections can be forged or severed. Each new skill creates new neural pathways, while forgotten information reflects degraded connections. Micromasteries provide ideal brain workouts because of their diversity and accessibility. Their varied nature creates a more natural, polymathic lifestyle similar to our hunter-gatherer ancestors, rather than the limited modern experience mediated through screens. Overspecialization can be dangerous. Classical guitarists sometimes develop focal hand dystonia when intense finger use, while the rest of the body remains immobile, causes the brain to perceive surrounding areas as useless. Following Hebb's law, what fires together wires together, the greater the variety of experience and sensory engagement, the stronger the neuroconnections. This diversity not only enhances memory, but may help guard against cognitive decline and dementia. Our memories atrophy when we stop exercising them. In our digital age, with smartphones always at hand, we've stopped committing things to memory, resulting in deterioration of both short and long-term recall. Specialists who merely repeat familiar tasks strengthen existing neural networks, but build no new ones. Memory functions as a skill that can be improved through practice. Techniques like keeping detailed journals with photographs enhance recall because they force us to truly look at what we're trying to remember. When our environment becomes overly familiar, we stop noticing details, living in a world of outlines. Neuroscientist Michael Mrzenich combats this by varying his route home daily and discussing new observations, reinforcing memory through attention and verbalization. Have you noticed how quickly you forget information you don't use regularly? This isn't just absent-mindedness, it's your brain efficiently pruning connections it doesn't need. By regularly engaging in diverse micromasteries, you're essentially giving your brain a comprehensive workout, maintaining neuroflexibility that can serve you well into old age. Deep immersion in learning new skills offers refuge from our accelerating world of constant digital distraction. Learning actually alters our perception of time, making it seem to slow down. We learn most rapidly when encountering something novel or startling, or when intensely focused. In these states, the neuron growth stimulator BDNF flows, creating stronger neural connections. Micromasteries promote accelerated learning through their structure. Each attempt requires focus, offers novelty through experimentation, and provides clear rewards. Observation proves crucial to rapid learning. Western Aikido practitioners reach Japanese skill levels much faster once internet videos allowed them to watch experts perform. Visual learning enables us to grasp subtle elements that verbal instructions miss, particularly the relative importance of different components, something difficult to communicate through rules alone. Deep observation accelerates learning, as illustrated by Syed, an oasis dweller who diagnosed a car's suspension problem just by noticing its slight lean. His childhood spent examining car undersides taught him how everything connected. Looking hard involves patient, wide-angle vision without forcing solutions, waiting for insights to emerge naturally. Goethe believed deeply observing something within its environment revealed as much as dissecting it scientifically. This unhurried contemplation allows connections to form. Bruce Chatwin advocated living with a single art object until it revealed all its secrets through prolonged sensory engagement. Micromastery facilitates this deep looking by limiting our focus to a contained activity. Rather than scattered attention across vast subjects, we can zoom in and learn much faster than by cramming diverse facts into a protesting brain. The outdated concept of fixed learning styles suggests we each have one optimal way to learn. However, Michael Mrzenich's research shows our learning strategies themselves are plastic. We can learn how to learn. Our default approaches develop through childhood patterns of praise and blame, but may not be most effective. When was the last time you truly observed something? Not just looked at it, but really saw it in all its complexity. This kind of deep observation is becoming rare in our distracted world, yet it remains one of the most powerful learning tools available. Try spending 5 full minutes observing something ordinary. A houseplant, your hand, or a common object. You'll be amazed at the details you've never noticed before. Micromasteries build confidence incrementally through both specific and transferable skills. True confidence isn't an inner feeling of superiority, but a performance decision, the ability to put more energy into what you do, like deliberately opening a tap rather than hoping energy will flow magically. When learning to sing, lack of confidence makes singers put less energy into their voice, causing them to go out of tune, which further undermines confidence. Breaking this cycle requires consciously putting more energy in when you feel yourself faltering, not less. Most failure simply results from not trying at all, from believing it's not worth it or I'm not good enough. Micromasteries build confidence rung by rung through several mechanisms. First, they're easily repeatable, and repeatability breeds confidence. The ability to experiment each time you repeat extends your range while keeping learning within mental limits. Second, they overcome one-off paranoia, dismissing success as beginner's luck because repeatability is built into each micromastery. The visible signs of incremental progress help break the vicious circle of learning atrophy. Third, they acknowledge that show-off ability fulfills our natural need for attention, which can serve as motivation. Additionally, micromasteries reduce performance anxiety because they're just one step on a path to mastery, not a one-off performance to be judged. When making an omelet for someone, remembering you're on a mastery path reduces pressure. This is just one more step, and the next will be better. Flow, popularized by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, describes complete immersion in an activity where time consciousness disappears and concentration heightens. While conventional learning often works against achieving flow, micromastery encourages it. Simple activities like drawing Zen circles can induce a semi-meditative, fully immersed state. Flow occurs when challenge and skill levels are balanced. Too much challenge creates anxiety, too little leads to boredom. Micromasteries are perfect for experiencing flow because they offer precise challenges with accessible skills. During the repetition and experimentation stage, you can monitor yourself on a spectrum from boredom to anxiety, adjusting the challenge level to maintain the sweet spot where time stands still and concentration becomes effortless. Think about times when you've been so absorbed in an activity that you lost track of time. That's flow, and it's not just enjoyable, it's when we learn most effectively. Micromasteries create the perfect conditions for flow by balancing challenge with skill level, giving us that rare combination of enjoyment and growth that makes learning truly addictive. Having one micromastery is nice, but the real magic happens when you collect several. Those who master multiple micromasteries across different fields gain exponential benefits through synergy. Research shows Nobel laureates are significantly more likely to pursue arts, crafts, writing, and performance alongside their scientific specialties. Even scientists and engineers recognize this advantage. 82% recommend arts and crafts education as useful background for scientific innovation. Multiple areas of expertise don't just add up, they multiply each other's effectiveness, creating quantum leaps in progress rather than linear improvement. The more you know, the easier learning becomes across all domains. Skills transfer between seemingly unrelated areas. Japanese novelist Yukio Mishima applied his writing mindset to excel in martial arts despite being a late starter. Writers like D.H. Lawrence and Henry Miller became accomplished visual artists by transferring their literary sensibilities. Even specific physical skills transfer widely. Aikido techniques for delivering maximum force with minimal preparation prove useful in activities from bread kneading to fire making. Multiple micromasteries enable rapid perspective shifts, an increasingly valuable skill in our changing world. Rather than being trapped in a single work identity, you can approach problems from multiple angles, asking how a canoeist or chef might view them. This polymathic perspective creates ideational fluency and shifts your outlook from closed to open. You become receptive to life's opportunities and develop quiet confidence, knowing you possess the secret to acquiring expertise in anything. Claude Shannon, father of information theory and computer science genius, was also a keen juggler, unicyclist, and chess player. His interest in juggling led to insights benefiting robotics. He built the world's first bounce juggling machine and a robot unicycle, inventing advanced balance systems. Similarly, physicist Richard Feynman rekindled his passion for physics by playfully analyzing the mathematics of a spinning plate. These examples show how MicroMastery's playful approach can lead to serious breakthroughs. Shannon and Feynman both use seemingly trivial skills as gateways to profound discoveries. Consider how your own diverse interests might connect in unexpected ways. The photography skills you develop might inform how you frame business presentations. Your cooking experiments might inspire scientific hypotheses. The connections between different domains often yield the most innovative insights, and collecting micromasteries is the perfect way to build these neural bridges. Pessimism is a cheat that takes our attention while denying us the chance to be involved. It thrives in the land of can't, where people claim they can't improve, learn, change, or lead. While informed pessimism based on evidence has its place, unnoticed inner pessimism causes self-limitation and self-sabotage. With minimal evidence, people assume they'll be no good and use this as an excuse not to try. Inner pessimism manifests in excuses like, I haven't got time, or I'm only an amateur, ultimately leading to the biggest cause of failure, not showing up because you've convinced yourself you aren't good enough. Consumer culture is inherently pessimistic, suggesting shopping and eating are the limits of our ambition. Our culture wants us to be passive consumers rather than superhuman producers. Success culture is equally pessimistic, defining people who don't succeed as losers. The trivial model of success, winning the lottery, misses the point that money is merely a tool. People fantasize about buying big houses, but don't realize that dream jobs require hidden work. Real success comes from finding what you like through micromastery, then doing it. We live in a complex world that excels at exclusion, making people exclude themselves. While some exclusions are necessary, like keeping someone with dirty hands out of an operating room, most aren't. We avoid involvement because we perceive entry costs, energy, commitment, money, equipment, knowledge, as too high. We blame obstacles like bureaucratic red tape that often aren't as formidable as imagined, while choosing passive entertainment over active engagement. The punk bands of the late 1970s embodied a DIY spirit perfect for micromastery. They played badly but didn't wait for permission. They worked around their limitations by writing simple songs that required minimal skill yet became classics. This punk mentality extended to publishing when Mark Perry, Steve Micallef, and Danny Baker created the influential fanzine Sniffin' Glue without any training or experience. The punk approach asks, why not try it, instead of waiting for the perfect moment? What are you waiting for permission to learn or try? Who do you think needs to grant that permission? The truth is, the only person who can give you permission to learn is you. Micromastery offers a path around the gatekeepers, both external and internal, who might otherwise block your progress. Despite what our ID cards and passports suggest, we aren't just one person. We're many different selves coexisting. Some selves might love smoking, while others hate it. Some crave physical activity, while others prefer stillness with a book. These multiple selves, or strands of self, have considerable autonomy and rapidly succeed one another throughout our days. Rather than forcing ourselves into binary categories like introverted or extroverted, we can recognize these different selves through micromasteries. Each micromastery we're drawn to represents a different self. By observing without judgment which activities give us pleasure, we can identify these selves and assign each one a micromastery. This helps us access different mental states when needed. Cleaning shoes to activate a controlling self, coloring to access a relaxed self, or physical activity to flip out of anger. The ultimate purpose of learning micromasteries, becoming more polymathic and successful, is the growth and integration of your multiple selves. Overdeveloping oneself at the expense of others might serve an organization or cause, but it won't fulfill your deeper purpose. We're not here merely for mundane reasons. Any motivation that misses the human need to connect to life's greater mysteries will shortchange you. To reach your potential, you need to become more integrated, perceptive, empathetic, resilient, and energetic. our multiple selves compete for recognition, but also attack and belittle each other. When I'm in my business self, I dismiss art that my artist self would admire. This internal conflict wastes energy and direction. Integration requires a powerful, overarching identity beyond mere job descriptions. A courier who abandoned his drummer past to be professional was less successful than another who identified as a world traveler. As poet Ramsey Wood suggested, identifying as a poet connects to something more mysterious and valuable than just being a writer. The micromasteries you pursue over time will reveal which higher-level identity best integrates your life. Micromastery transforms casual dabbling into glimpses of your true potential. It's practical polymathy that helps achieve your personal bucket list. It's also an entry point to subjects you might eventually master fully. Twigger has seen delinquents deemed incapable of learning earn black belts in Aikido after starting with a single move. He's met people with little formal education who've achieved fluency in difficult foreign languages after beginning with just learning to order coffee. Micromastery restores our permission to be interested and involved, a philosophy embraced during history's polymathic phases like Islamic Spain, Elizabethan England, and Revolutionary America. When people grasp that their task is developing potential in every direction, the world becomes better and more enlightened. This approach stands opposite to narrow-minded fundamentalism that enslaves people to limited worldviews. In a small but significant way, micromastery is the first step to becoming truly superhuman. What aspects of yourself have you neglected in pursuit of a single identity? Which dormant interests might reconnect you with forgotten parts of yourself? The path to wholeness often begins with small steps in multiple directions, exactly what micromastery offers.